Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
It's John 15. We are in a series called What Do I Do Now? What do I do now? When you're at a place in your life that you have to do something and you don't know what to do, what do I do now? And it's been a fun series. I don't know if this is the last one. I may have one more. I'm not sure. I'm still kind of chewing on it. But it's a cool thing. There are times in our lives that we find ourselves in painful situations. Anybody ever been in a painful situation? Anybody ever been in a frustrating situation? Anybody ever been in a devastating situation? We find these things, they come with life. And we know Scripture teaches that in this world you will have trouble. And so I'm always a little amazed when followers of Christ kind of run into hardships or challenges and you know, we just think we name it and claim it our way out of stuff like that. And I just think that's bad theology. I think Jesus told us, listen, in the world, in your lives, there's going to be hardships that come. And I call them hardships for a reason, because they're hard. And I think he was telling us as plainly as we can hear it and receive it and understand that sometimes there are challenging things and frustrating seasons of our life. When life doesn't go the way that you expected it to go, and we can sometimes feel discouraged and defeated and devastated at time. And during those seasons, we spend a lot of energy trying to get rid of or avoid whatever is causing our pain, because we love comfort and we love happiness. I want to be happy and I want to be comfortable. Now, how many of you have, and I want to ask this because I have this, clothes that you will wear in your house because they're comfortable, that you would never wear out of your house, even to Walmart? There are, I mean, you go home and after work or after church or whatever it is, when you are in for the evening, there's this transition that happens. You go from maybe business casual during the day to, you know, sweatpants that you still have from high school with stains on them and a sweatshirt that's torn and you've sewed it and torn again, but it's just comfortable. We love comfort and we love to be happy, and believe it or not, you may not like this, but it doesn't change the truth of us. We spend most of our time and most of our life living trying to obtain those two things. I'm pursuing happiness and I'm pursuing comfort. And so when things happen in our life that make us uncomfortable, and when things happen in our life that make us unhappy, we spend a lot of energy trying to avoid it, trying to get rid of it. We spend a lot of time going to God and asking God to remove the things that make our life less than perfect. But what if God is up to something in the midst of that suffering? What if God is up to something that is more profound than your comfort, and that is more important than your happiness in those moments? So I want to ask you this morning, what frustrates you this morning? What are the things that frustrate you? What are the things that in life, it's not that it's super hard, but it's bothersome. It's just kind of that thing, that discomfort, that pressure, that pain that reminds you that it is there and it is real and it doesn't seem like it's going to go anywhere. This year, 2014, as we kind of came to the end of it, I was just really celebrating. I said, you know, Lord, 2014 has been good. It's been a tough year. I'm ready to close that door, step into 2015. I'm excited about this year. And literally, on New Year's Eve, I was sitting in my house. I bit into something, and I cracked a tooth. And it was one of the, I don't know if you've ever done this, you'll understand. If you haven't, you'll think, oh, you big baby. And don't do that to me. It will hurt my feelings. But you ever done it, and all of a sudden, you kind of hear, and all of a sudden, that nerve just kind of winds up and you start feeling your heartbeat in your face? Anybody ever have one of those? I know I'm alive. They're like, check your pulse. And you're like, I couldn't get in to see the dentist until that Friday, and I'm just there, and it's just, you know, I'm digging through the house finding what pills do we have. You know what? I'd take birth control. I didn't care. You know, I'm just, boom, pow, pow. You know, I would have taken anything, and we don't even have those in our house. And so I was taking prenatal vitamins. I just didn't care. I needed something to make the pain go away. And the thing was, the pain wasn't so bad. It was just so constant. And I can remember telling my wife, I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to get a pair of pliers out of my toolbox. And I'm just going to start pulling stuff out of my face. And if I pull a tooth and it still hurts, I'll know I got the wrong one. But better heads prevailed. And by that, I mean she hid the pliers. And eventually I was able to get into the dentist and get those things taken care of. But the month of January was a pretty tough month for me. I had the flu twice for about a week each. I would try to come in and do work and things like that, but just sick as a dog. And I just was so excited when January ended and February began. Now, toothache is a lot simpler to deal with than heartache or financial collapse. Or going down the road in your marriage and you hit a pothole and you didn't see it coming and it jolts everything in your marriage and all of a sudden your marriage is making a noise that it wasn't making before and it doesn't steer as well and you know something's broke. Something busted. Maybe it's a physical issue that changes the way that you function. Maybe it's the loss of someone that has impacted your life and changed the shape of your life. And I just... When we deal with these kind of things that people talk about grief and you have to grieve for a while, and I'm one that thinks that grief is a very powerful thing, and I'm one that thinks that grief doesn't ever really go away. I think it simply changes shape in our lives. And if you don't realize that, you will find yourself wrestling with things and wondering, why am I not over this? Because it's changing. Maybe you have phones for all your family members and you call them and they don't answer you. Maybe that's what frustrates you. Maybe you send them a text and they don't always respond. Maybe you've had car trouble. I don't know what it is. Maybe you broke down on the side of the road with a toothache and your spouse won't answer their phone. I don't know what all it could be. Maybe it's all the above. You know, I don't know. But what are the things that frustrate you? And maybe this morning the question isn't frustration. Maybe it's more. Maybe you wish you had frustrations to deal with in your life. And maybe this morning you say, what's discouraging you? Maybe it's your job, you need a new one, or a relationship that's broke, you don't know how to fix it. And so it's discouraging. You don't see, this is going to take forever to get through this, forever to fix this. Maybe that's not even enough. Maybe you've got to go a step further and you say, listen, there are things that I'm dealing with in my life that I feel like they are defeating me. I'm trying, but it's not enough. I'm serving, but it's not enough. I'm repairing and restoring, but it doesn't seem to be enough. It's growing and I'm not keeping up with it. It's that escalator thing. It keeps bringing me down and I keep trying to run up the stairs, but it's bringing me down faster than I can run up. And I'm discouraged this morning. I'm fighting. I'm trying. But it doesn't seem to be enough and I don't know if I'm going to be enough and I don't see a way out of this. Maybe this morning my question that you would want to answer is, what is devastating you? Maybe it was a diagnosis. Maybe it was a loss of someone that was close to you that you didn't see coming, or even if you saw it coming. It's still so challenging sometimes to deal with and to get over. Whatever it is, it feels like my life will never be the same. You see, these things, all of us at some point in our life have faced, all of us at some point in our life that face things that range from frustrating to devastating. And every Sunday we come together and I try to be helpful. I try to give you a nugget from the Word or sermon in a sentence, something that you can take and apply to your heart and walk better, walk differently, walk more like Jesus, because God gives us His Word to teach us how to do that. And this morning, though, I want to not just be helpful, I want to be hopeful. Whether you're frustrated or discouraged or defeated or devastated this morning, while we may all handle it differently, at the core, we all want the same thing. We want it to go away. We want it fixed. We want it changed. We want it avoided. We want it to stop. We want to remove it from our lives because we love comfort. We love happiness. We want to enjoy our lives. And anything that impacts us from doing that, we want it removed, fixed, healed, changed, blessed, restored. Whatever word we come up with it, you know it because we pray it all the time. See, most of the time when people have a problem with God, it's because something didn't change. It's because something impacted them. God allowed something that impacted their happiness and their comfort. Even for people who are not people of faith, and I hear this all the time. People say, well, I don't know if I believe in this God stuff, because why would a good God let such bad things happen? This is something real in our lives that we wrestle with. This is something that's weighty that we deal with. Not just in our life, but everyone that you meet. So that's what today is about. What happens when remove it is not working? So you have that thing. You've asked God to take care of it, and it doesn't look like it's getting better. It seems to be getting worse. So now what do I do? Well, what if God is up to something in the middle of that thing that you're asking God to remove? It's not pleasant. I realize that. And I hope you don't tune me off or tune me out this morning. But what if there's a reason that He's not removing it? What if God is wanting to do something in the middle of your frustration, or the middle of your discouragement or defeat, in the middle of what seems to be devastating you? God says, I have a work that I want to accomplish, and I hear your prayers, and I'm not removing it because I'm not done with it yet in your life. See, all of us have faced things. How many of you ever faced hardships? How many of you gotten through? Can I ask you a question? Is that the best that we can hope for, is getting through? I got through the flu. And eventually, you throw up everything you have. There's nothing left. I got through the toothache. Eventually, you can get into a dentist and they can fix it. And then you move on. But is that really, in the life of dealing with the things that frustrate us and defeat us and discourage us and seem to devastate us, is the best that we, the church, the people of God, have to hope for, is God, just get us through? You see, most people get through. But my question is this: can we get something out of it? Can we get something out of it? See, some people look back and they don't see it as a survivor mindset. We don't look back and go, oh man, I thought I was going to die. I thought that was the end. I didn't see any hope. But man, I got through. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I survived that one. What if God has more for us than that? What if God doesn't want us to look back and just see that we got through it, that we survived the hardship? What if God wants us to look back and see how God grew us and how God stretched us and how God took us in that season of our life and got us through, but also got us something, taught us something? And while we look back, we would never say, I would love to walk through that again. We look back and we do say, I'm thankful because God showed me a lot. It wasn't easy, but what I learned from that season has changed me. And so what kind of person do you want to be this morning? Do you want to be a I got through it kind of person? Or do you want to be a get something out of it kind of person? Now, we've been in John 15. We've been talking about this conversation that Jesus has with his closest followers. And Jesus in John 15, he looks at his closest followers and he says, this is the kind of relationship that I want to have with you. And he's giving us a sneak peek of what it looks like, this potential relationship that you and I and everyone can have with Jesus. And he says in John 15, 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? You can do nothing. It is the vine that gives life to the branch. It's the conduit for anything that happens in our life. And if we remain in him, if we abide, if we stay connected, if we remain close, then we will bear much fruit in our life. Not because we tried super hard, but because of who you are connected to. If I'm connected to Christ, there's going to be life. And apart from him, I can't do anything. And in this whole conversation of John 15, I encourage you to go read the whole chapter. It's an amazing chapter. But in the middle of this thing, we're focused, or we've read, but we've not really focused on this powerful verse. And I got to be honest with you, it's not very emotionally satisfying. You might read it and go, oh, that's not so bad. Well, let's look at it. It's not really all that fun, but I think it is a very real verse to our lives that we need to see in a clearer way. John 15, 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Isn't that kind of nice? You ever watch those gardening shows on TV? It's just nice and beautiful. And people are out there, and oh, we're going to plant petunias. And oh, and they just, their gardens are always, you know, growing and nice, and the flowers are always blooming, and yard is always trimmed so nice. And we think, oh, you know, if God's my gardener and that's my life, I like that. I could do that. God, may I always be in bloom. And it's a nice way to think about God until God gets up in your garden. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We see the end result. We say, sign me up. And then the gardener comes in, starts pulling stuff, tilling stuff, killing some weeds, moving out some rocks. He comes in and starts raking and hoeing and you know, watering and moving stuff and things you like. They're gone and planting stuff. You're like, I don't know if I want that, you know. And all of a sudden, it's a lot tougher because here's what he does when the gardener shows up in your garden. John 15, 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Now, I want you to focus on two words. He cuts off every branch. Let's read those next two together. In me. In me. It's not God showing up and working on something over there and saying, hey, it's almost done, Wes. When I'm finished, you got to come check this out because you were going to love it. It's in me. My heart, my life, my mind, my emotions, my spirit, my fruit, my gifts, my life. The gardener cuts off every branch that bears no fruit in me. Now, these are branches that are connected to my life. They're not branches that are lying on the ground. They're still connected. And people have argued throughout the scriptures about this meaning of cuts off. Most believe it's the Greek word aereo, which means to lift up. And so God, the gardener, comes in and the branches that are bearing no fruit, you have to imagine a vineyard, if you've ever been, they often have like posts with wires and strings run, and the vines grow up. And if there's a vine that has grown down, the gardener comes and he lifts it off the ground. And he hangs it up again so it can get the light that it needs, the nutrients that it needs, so that little critters aren't chewing away at it, gnawing away at it, so that it can heal and restore and rebuild and begin to bear fruit again in its life. John 15:2, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. Do you hear what I just read? We're not talking about the branches that aren't bearing fruit in your life. We're not talking about the areas in your life that aren't growing, that maybe we allow little things in. We kind of allow little compromises, and we kind of have little sin that we've approved. You know, we just kind of keep it. It's ours. It doesn't affect me doing all this stuff, so we think. And we allow these little things that God didn't just come in and start pulling weeds. This says this, every branch that does bear fruit. These are the parts of your life that are growing. These are the parts of your life that you might be looking at saying, you know, I'm doing okay. You know, hey, I go to church. I'm on time most, you know. I get there on Sunday. And God, I feel like I'm doing pretty good. And it doesn't just say some. It says every branch. I read that and I said, you know, God, that's just not fair. The gardener prunes our lives. And every single branch in your life that is bearing fruit, Jesus says that God, the master gardener, comes along and he prunes it. Have you ever been just kind of going along and life seems to be in a good rhythm and life seems to be in kind of a good flow and things are okay at home and things are okay in the workforce and you and God seem like you're doing okay and then all of a sudden something happens? And you're going, God, what happened? God says, I'm pruning you. You say, God, I was just getting going here. I was just in a rhythm. I'm in a good place, God. God says, yeah, I know. But I'm the master gardener. And I'm pruning you. God says, see, you could have borne some fruit with your life the way you are, but I'm pruning you so that you can bear something greater. You got to understand that, guys, this isn't a hobby with God. This is what he does. God knows what he's doing. And maybe you're in the middle of a season where you feel like you are being pruned and it doesn't feel good and it isn't fun and it's uncomfortable and it doesn't make us happy. But the master gardener does that to every branch that has fruit on it. And why? Because when you prune a branch, it becomes more dependent on the vine. When you prune a bush back, it now has to draw on the vine in a way that it never has before. When you prune a branch, it's going to experience growth in new areas that it never has before. I told y'all last Sunday, we had Jeff Adderholt and his company, Town and Country Landscaping. He's not here, so I can mess it all up. Town and Country Lands, they came and did some work at our house, and I kind of met them that morning before I went into work, and I said, yeah, I got to go. He said, well, you know, we had this one tree thing in our house. I love gardening, right? That's not true. I had this tree thing in front of our house, and he kind of looked and said, yeah, we're going to have to prune this. We're going to have to cut this back some. You know, you're the pro, man. This is what you do. This is your love. This is your passion. You tell me what needs to be done, and you got my blessing to do it. Well, then I went to work, and I came home, and there's a nub. It went from a tree to, like, this little thing, because, help me, you know? Why did you leave? They were so mean. You know, it was cut back. I got out of it. Whoa. Oh, my goodness. Who did they have pruned it? A beaver? You know, I was like, what in the world happened to this thing? And I go into my house. Did you see what's left of the tree? She said, oh, yeah, they cut it way back. I said, that's not way back. But now, it's budding. And it's growing in ways that it wouldn't have grown had it not been pruned. Had it not been cut back. To me, I looked at it and I thought, oh, he's dead. But it wasn't. It's alive. And how did it survive? Because it pushed its roots deeper. You see, the vine brings life to the branch. When God prunes us as the branch, we push deeper into Christ. We push deeper into God. And as we do so, life comes and we experience a new level of growth in our life. That's the point of pruning. And it's the same thing true of our lives and our relationship with God, that he at times pulls out the shears in your life and mine, and he prunes the places in your life that you think everything was going fine, and now all of a sudden you find yourself praying a "Dear God, remove it" kind of prayer. God, I don't know what happened, but fix it. God, things seemed great. Things seemed like they were just rolling along, and something got mixed up. You know, God, help me, heal it, bless it, change it, smite it. I don't care what you do, but get me back to where I'm comfortable and I'm happy again. God says, well, I think I'm going to leave that thing there a little bit longer, because I'm pruning you and you're beginning to grow. You see, a pruned life will reach potential that was previously impossible. Maybe you lived a life that everything always seemed to work out, and all of a sudden it doesn't work out, and it's hard, and it's embarrassing, and it's challenging, and you pray to God to take it away, and God says, no, I think I'm going to leave that there a little while for you, because it's causing you to grow. And I'm one who believes this, and I take it for what it is. I am one that thinks as adults that we need to have learned how to struggle. And it's something I think we need to let our kids learn how. Because not everything in life comes easy, and not everything in life falls into place all the time and works out just the way you want it to be. Sometimes someone says no, and that's their final answer. And Brooke and Sierra and Chase and Ashton, you got to realize in life there are going to be times it doesn't work the way you want it to work. And you've got to learn how to press through. You've got to learn how to scrap it out a little bit, to fight a little bit, to lean into the wind a little bit, because life is not always easy. In this world, you will have difficulties, but we cannot just get through it, but we can get something from it. That's how we grow. See, a pruned life experiences growth in new areas. See, no matter what role you're playing today, God wants to grow you. And there's a level in your life, a growth in your life that you will never see unless God prunes and leaves that thing in your life that causes you discomfort and pain and struggle. Pruning forces all of us to become more dependent on Him. Now, I realize something, you may not like what I'm saying, but it doesn't change the truth of what I'm telling you. You ever been in a place in your life that you hurt more than you ever hurt, but you look back and you said, I had to rely on God more than I ever did? I tried everything I knew, Pastor. I tried every wisdom I could find. I read books about smart people. I talked to smart people. I prayed my brains out. I did everything I knew and nothing seemed to work. And I finally came to the place I said, God, I'm going to grab hold on to the cross, and I'm going to hold on to you, and I'm trusting you. And all of a sudden, we get through. And all of a sudden, we get something from it. And all of a sudden, we're looking back. And someone says, would you do it again? You said, not if I don't have to. But I tell you what, I found a level in God I never knew was there. Because while I was holding Him, He was holding me. And all the things I thought I needed for happiness and for comfort, I found in the love of my Savior. And it was pure and it was real. And when I was down, He lifted me. And I relied on God in a way I never relied on God before. And I'm through it. And I might have a couple of scars on my body. I might have a couple of things that have changed the way I think and changed the way I walk. Jacob wrestled with God. He walked with a limp the rest of his life. I may be limping, but I tell you what, I know Jesus better. When God prunes us, when God changes us. See, we're always dependent on God, but there are seasons that we feel it more than others. And if you're being pruned right now, one of the things that God wants to do in your life right now is He wants you to feel how dependent you are on Him. See, we want God to remove it. God says, let me use it. We pray all the time, God, I want it gone. God says, well, I'm going to leave it a little bit longer. Not because I'm mad at you, not because I'm punishing you for something, but I want you to grow, and it's the best way, and it's the only way that you're going to be able to grow to where I want you to grow.
is if you walk through this. So would you allow me to use it before I remove it? And so you say, Pastor, did God cause my business to fail? Pastor, did God cause my relationship to come to an end? Did he cause my job to, I lost my job or my loved one passed? Did God call all the angels together and go, hey guys, watch this, and grab the shears and snip, snip, boom, you just got pruned. Watch us struggle and watch us flop all over the place trying to get through and try. And, you know, God, am I saying that pain and tragedy and the loss that we sometimes experience are caused by God? I think I'd say this, that there's enough pain and brokenness in the world to account for all the pain and brokenness in your life. And at the point of what Jesus is saying is it's not about where your pain is from. It's about what God wants to do with your pain. God never wastes your pain. I think one of the deceiving things of the enemy, Brooke has a wedding coming up in like a month or something. I don't know. I think I have it on the calendar. And so I don't know why, but all of a sudden we're very aware of what our children are doing, especially Ashton, because we're thinking, you know, he's got two loose teeth in the front. And we're telling him, don't mess with him. You know, I can't have you at the wedding. Can't do that. And so I spent a couple of days at my mom's house this past week. And while he was there, we were up in the barn. And he found this little skateboard. And oh, he's all about the skateboard. I mean, he would have it on the porch. And he would, like, put it on the steps. He'd try to stand on it. He'd be like, Dad, I'm grinding. I'm like, do not break your arm. You know, I'm just very aware of please don't break your arm. You know, and here's the thing. If you slipped and fell and you hit and you broke your arm and we said, oh, that's terrible. And you go to the doctor and they do x-rays and they come back and they tell you why you're hurting. Is that really what you're there for? You're not there to find out that you're in pain. You know you're in pain. Aren't you there to have someone set the bone? You're there to find out who can help the pain go away and to put the cast around it and to provide to you the things that are necessary for your healing, for you to be okay? We go through pruning sometimes and we spend so much energy and so much time praying against it. God, remove it. God, take it away. God, I don't want this. What did I do? I was doing so good. God says, let me set the bone. Let me give you what you need to be strengthened and to grow and to become more of what I've called you to be. So God uses our pain for good. God never wastes your pain. He uses it for good to grow us. And in the midst of your job issue or marriage struggle or the parenting battles, for those who have kids, relational headaches that keep you up at night, what if we came to the place and in the midst of it all, we said, maybe God is up to something, and we shifted the way we think from God, get it out, to maybe God wants to use this in my life somehow. What if we changed the way that we thought about it? You see, the hope of a resurrected Savior, the hope that Jesus gives us, is that God is in the middle of any tragedy that can bring about life. God is in the midst of the worst pain in our darkest hour, and God can grow life in you. And so God's goal is for you to grow even when you want Him to remove it. So what would change in your perspective of God if God wants to use it before He removes it? Would you pray differently? Would you live differently? Would you face it differently? What if we took all the energy that we use asking God to remove it and said to God, how do you want to use this in my life? Because what if the quickest way to get God to remove it is to let Him use it? So God, what are you trying to show me?
What are you trying to teach me in this season that I am in? God, what are you trying to grow in me? Because whatever it is, help me to hear it, see it, to know it, to embrace it, because I want you to use it more than I want you to remove it. Because what if the most loving thing that God could do for you was to use it rather than remove it? Would that change the way you thought about it? Would that change the way you looked at that thing in your life? What if there's a level of maturity? What if there's a level of anointing? What if there's a level of breakthrough that was the only way to get there? Would you change the way you saw that frustration, that discouragement, that defeat, that devastation? What if there's a level in your life that you can only reach if you allow God to use it? What if our prayer was, God, if you use this, God, use this until you remove this? Because we leave remove in there. There's nothing wrong when we have hardships to say, hey, God, I don't like this. And can you remove it? James tells us sometimes we have not because we ask not. There's no sin in asking. There's no sin in saying, God, I don't like it. This isn't comfortable. This is you know, contrary to what I think you want. And so remove this. Remove the sickness. Remove it physically, emotionally, whatever it is. Remove these issues in my marriages. God, I pray that you, don't pray for God to remove your kids. But God, any dynamic that we have with our children, help us to navigate it and to work it out and help me to parent in a godly way. And God, I just want this quick as, you know, gone as quickly as we can. Help us to get through it and grow. But God, here's the thing, until you remove it, will you use it in me? To grow me and to teach me about who you are. And help me to become more dependent on you. When in the season of my life, when things don't go the way I want them to, and I feel pruned, and I feel like my branches that I thought were doing good, all of a sudden are being cut off, will you use it in me until you remove it from me? All of us as parents have done this very thing. You know, you have kids and you know, they love video games, and there's times you go in and go, okay, guys, you gotta turn games off. Whoa! Because you've been on them forever, and I want you to go outside and play. But I'm not at a save point. I don't even know what that means. Jesus will save you. You know, I just, you know, and they go outside like, Dad, what's that bright thing? That's the sun. You know, and you know, it's just, have you ever, as a parent, you've had to make, or even as a grandparent, when I say as a grandparent, grandparents, y'all don't tell kids no for nothing. Y'all just, you want sugar? Eat it. It's good. Have some more. Can you walk on the railing of the second floor apartment? Absolutely. There's bushes. You'll be fine. As a parent, have you ever had to tell a child no or make a decision for that child because in their mind, this is what I want. This will make me happy. And this will make me comfortable. But as a parent, you know better. And you go, no. Why? Or maybe your kids are awesome. Maybe they go, thank you, mother. Thank you, father. You're teaching me the best way to live. I feel smarter. I'm growing, you know. Yeah, whatever your kids are taking, my kids need it, because I get this. Dad, why? Because I said no. What? Whatever. And they get the stink eye. Anybody ever get the stink eye from your kid? They're like, don't give me the stink eye. I invented the stink eye. I stink eye them right back. Oh, they cry and they complain and they moan and they groan and they don't understand. You're the worst parent ever. But you know better. You're saying, but I love you. And I know in your heart and mind, this seems like the right thing for your life, but it's not. So we have to do this. Here's the... That's what God does with us. And we laugh at our kids, but I wonder sometimes when God says, I got to prune this, I got to trim this, I got to let this thing stay in your life a little bit longer because I'm using it to grow you. If we go, what? Wasn't my fault. You're mean. You're the worst Savior ever. I wonder if God looks at us like we look at our kids. We say, I only wish you knew how much I love you. And I'm not saying no to hurt you, and I'm not saying no because I'm angry or mad. I'm saying no because I want to protect your life. And while you may not have the wisdom you need right now to make this decision, by me doing this, you are learning wisdom. You are learning how to make better decisions with your life, because one day you're going to have branches of your own. And adoption is a very viable option. Write that one down, Brookie. Little personal note there. And if I love my kids enough to at times mess with their comfort and happiness for their good, how much more does your Heavenly Father love you? How much more is he willing to mess with our happiness and our comfort? Because he loves us and he wants to grow us and he wants us to fully be everything he says that we can be. How much more is he going to allow things in your life maybe to stick around longer than you want them to, or remove things in your life that you wish he had left alone? He is a perfect, loving Father, and how much more does he love you than your earthly parents? Psalms 18:30 says this, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. His description is perfect. His promise to us, my word is flawless. Then his promise, he shields all who take refuge. He's our Father. That's who he is. I am loved by him. That is who you are. And as I understand, he is our Father and he is perfect and his word is flawless, I can lean into him and I can allow him to reframe my pain from take that to use that in my life. To trust him as your Heavenly Father, and to know that I am loved by him. See, there are levels of joy and faith and anointing and peace that God has for your life that you may only experience if you let him use that pain and then remove it. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I get you to bow your heads this morning? Listen, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you today through this message? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What are the things that frustrate you? What are the things that discourage you? What are the things that feel like they're defeating you? What are the things that you look at your life and you say, God, I don't know how I will ever bounce back from this. Devastating. You even know sometimes I can't pray for God, just let it be what it was, because it can't. It's gone. They're gone. What is God speaking to you? What's the thing that causes you pain? Have you asked God about it. And I say that because I know whenever we are facing something that impacts our comfort level or our happiness level, we are quick to go to God and say, remove it, I rebuke it, take it away, God. But what if God this morning is saying, I'll take it away, but I want to use it first to grow you, to stretch you, and to help you remember how connected to me you need to be. You're dependent on me. And while it feels like you're in the fight of your life, you are drawing life from Him. Will you be brave today? I grew up in the country. I grew up growing up, we always wanted to be tough. That was our thing. Gotta be tough. And God showed me some things. One is that when your goal is to be tough, you always have to prove how tough you are. Anybody, people you don't even know, could come by and say, oh yeah, well what about this? And you had to show them you were tough. You had to. And I learned fairly young that God, I don't want to be tough. I want to be brave. Can be brave in the right things.